line. Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game in the Game Nashville app. We are brought to you by the new Zen Sports Sportsbook with cash rewards and the easiest, simplest betting experience possible. Betting just got better. So download the Zen Sports Sportsbook app today. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. Joining us now is Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet and the 32 Thoughts podcast. Elliot, always appreciate chatting with you. And speaking of the 32 Thoughts podcast, yesterday you said that you confirmed that the Predators did have conversations about potentially trading goaltender UC Saros, but there wasn't a good enough offer on the table. From what you know, your interpretation of the situation, and what you know about the situation, what do you think is a quote-unquote good enough offer for the Predators and UC Saros?
Carolyn, I don't know if I can say exactly, but put it this way. I think it's more likely than not that Saros is back with the Predators. I do. I think if he gets traded, then you're going to look at the deal and you're going to say, holy smokes. That's the only way I see it happening. I think the Kings called them at the deadline to see what was available there. Obviously, it didn't happen. And I don't think that's going to change unless they get something that blows them off their feet. I really don't. I would be surprised if it's anything less than that.
And I would agree with that. Elliot Friedman is with us. The Kings had those conversations with the Predators at the trade deadline. How much do you think this situation with a potential trade for Saros could change under Barry Trotz?
I think Trotz was pretty involved around the deadline. I think he had a lot of say. So I think he knew everything that was going on. I think that Poile ran a lot of stuff by him. So when I just answered that question, I was kind of thinking of it under Trotz's lens. I don't think he's dealing him unless the offer is exceptional. I think you're really going to have to make Nashville say, wow, we can't really say no to that before anything like that is going to happen. So just because now officially Trotz is the GM instead of Poile, I don't think that changes. I think the thought process is still the same.
Now, Elliot, with that being said, do you think that, because when you start to approach trade talks with a player of Saros caliber, it has to be for one reason and one reason only. It has to be because you know down the line you're going to have to pay this guy a lot of money. And with Lankanen being there in Milwaukee and you see the potential that he has, do you think this is over? Because eventually it's going to come ahead where they're going to have to pay Saros, or they're going to have to make a decision on whether to move him, and is moving him right now the best time?
I think right now, Derek, it comes down to the one thing that's happening, Derek, in the NHL is that this is no longer a one goaltender league. One of the things that we talked about in one of our podcasts recently was we thought that Ottinger for Dallas ran out of steam in the playoffs. I think he ended up playing something like 82 games this season, regular season and playoffs. And if you take a look at the other goalies who made the Final Four, Hill for Vegas, Bobrovsky for Florida, and Anderson for Carolina, whether it was injury or just usage, nobody was even close to him. Nobody. As a matter of fact, some of them were, especially Hill now from Vegas, were significantly behind him. When we talked about that on the pod, I had a couple people reach out to me and say, you should reinforce that point because that's what teams are doing. One of them was a general manager. So I think now, obviously, there always comes down to a question when Saros is up for his next contract. Yes, you're going to have to take a look at what that number is going to be and whether or not that fits. But I also think you have to make sure you've got two goalies. Whether it's Lankanen or whether it's Askarov when he's ready to come up, you have to be in a situation where you know you've got another goalie on your roster who you need to count on for anywhere from 25 to 30 games. And if you don't have that person, it's going to catch up to you. You're in trouble. So I think that with when you look at your goalie depth and where you are, you always have to have two. You have to have two NHL caliber goalies, and you have to work towards that. And if you don't, you're in big trouble.
Now, Elliot, did you expect any big moves for the Predators before the draft or either after the draft? Because obviously now that it's came out about Soros, do you expect anything else?
You know, I think, Derek, do I expect it? I don't know that I expect it, but I wouldn't be surprised by it. Like, I think if the trade deadline this year proved anything, it's that the Predators aren't going to be afraid to take a big swing. And I think the other thing, too, is I think Trotz also comes from the Poyle school of we're not going to be afraid to try things. Like, there have been different times over the last few years where the Predators have had Duchesne and Johansson out there. Again, if you get to a situation like obviously Josi's not going anywhere. Forsberg is not going anywhere. Like, Novechkin is not going anywhere. He's a part of where you're going here. But I think other than that, if you get into situations where people look at some of your guys and say, yeah, you know what, we'd like to talk about these players, I think the Predators have proven that as a franchise, they're capable of almost anything. When I look at their organization now, I say, okay, like, when you look up and down their roster, you say, who would a team look at and say, that's a guy we'd love to steal off the roster that the Predators wouldn't do? And I think Josi is obviously one of them. I think Forsberg is obviously one of them. I mean, you know, after that, like the kids, like, I don't think they're moving the kids anywhere. Like, Parsonen looked like he's got really something there. I think Glass looked like he's got really something there. But I think other than that, I think they're probably going to listen on to a lot of people and say, if you're interested, you let us know what you're talking about. And like I said, for Soros, I think it would be something that we'd all look at and say, oh, okay, I get that.
Elliot Friedman is with us. And Elliot, one of the things in the context of what you're talking about that you guys have discussed a lot is that there are a lot of veteran goalies that are sort of out there with Hellebuck and Carter Hart and the guys in Carolina. And you go on down the list. It's a pretty long list of options if you're shopping around for a goalie. I'm curious of this, though. If you were to flip it, and if you're Barry Trotz and saying, okay, look, I've got UC Soros, and the calls I'm getting are not impressing me. He's way too valuable. I'm not going to get equal or better value in return. I'm very content keeping him. But if somebody called me about Askarov, and I know I've got Lankin in, what do you think the market could be for Askarov? And do you think there might be some teams looking around at what he did in last year and saying, okay, they've got Soros. Maybe I could get Askarov.
Here's the thing, though, about Askarov. Askarov was a first-round pick, and, you know, the other thing is he's, what, 21 years old? He's 20.
Just turned 21.
He's turning 21 next week, I think, actually, is what it is. And, okay. You know, like he just took you guys to the AHL semifinal, and, you know, he's younger than Soros. He's younger than Lankinen. I think he's got a higher ceiling than Lankinen. You know, Willie, do you really want to do that?
It depends on what the market, and that's why I'm asking you, Elliot. I don't want to do it at all. But at the same time, Barry Trotz keeps saying, you know, I'd love to get that true number one center. And so if you could package something, move up to number three or four in the draft or do something like that, that could get you a better access to that. Could Askarov be a tool that could help you do that? We've had that's the discussion we've had.
I think he could. I mean, like the, it's kind of the same thing with Saros for me. Even though Saros is proven and Askarov isn't, I think you would have to show me that there's a reason that you would do that. Like the common line in hockey is, hey, Wayne Gretzky got traded, so anybody can get traded. And I understand that. But the thing is, like, there's some people, you would have to show me why you would do it. And, like, to me, like, Saros, I think you'd have to show me why you would do that. And the same thing with Askarov. Like this guy is trending in the right direction. I think this thing is trending in the right direction with him. I think he's a really talented young guy. You know, like, again, you know, Saros is not like he's old, but he's older. And as I said, you need two goalies. You would need to show me why that would make sense for the Predators. That's all.
Okay. This is another thing we discuss a lot. So leave us with this, Elliot, and you could chew this up and, you know, throw it out there with Jeff, and you guys have your own discussion about it. But what gets talked about here is, okay, what would it cost to sign UC Saros to the next contract? It's going to be fairly expensive. So one thing we don't know, you guys always talk about the cap's not going to go up this year, but down the road it is going to go up. So 2 years from now, when you say it's going to go up, do you have any gauge of just how much the cap is going to go up? Like, because that will affect the market value for somebody like Saros, who's going to come up for a new contract right around that time.
Well, I think that the cap is expected to go up to about 86. Next year, it's going to be 83.5, right? Is it 83.5 now? I can't remember. I'm always like, I don't know what summer my brain is at. So it's either going to be 83.5 or 84.5 next year. I think it's 84. I can't even remember. But the year after, it's supposed to go to 87 or 88. And the year after that, it's supposed to go to like 92 or 93. So we're looking at two big bumps. So that's kind of what we're looking at here. You know, Saros, the thing about Saros I look at is this. It's not like he's an old guy. He's 28 now, so in a couple of years, he's going to be 30. But the other thing I think about with Saros is, you know, if you look at his career, he really hasn't played a ton of games. He's played 286 games in the NHL. He's played 67 and 64 the last 2 years, and we'll see what Trotz and Brunette do the next couple of years. But I don't see a guy who's like overtaxed or exhausted. Now, like I said, he's played a lot the last 2 years, so we'll see where this goes. But it's not like he has a ton of mileage on him. Now, you guys are going to know him better than anybody else, assuming nothing happens here. So you can make the decision on where he goes. But the cap is going to be going up around $10 million. Not this summer, but the next two summers. So there's going to be a lot more flexibility there.
Elliot Friedman always appreciates our visits with you every single week. Have a good one. We'll chat next week.
You too, Carolyn. Take care, guys.
Awesome. Thanks, Elliot. Appreciate you. Elliot says on his podcast and doubles down today, it would take a really good offer for the Predators to trade UC Saros. What do we think that is? Do we think the Predators should do it? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Riley-DeMace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.